You know, Chandler Church, as I study through the Scriptures and I go to visit the pages of holy writings, I find in the words of Scripture that something absolutely uncanny occurred after the baptism of Jesus Christ at the Jordan River. You know that moment, don't you? That special sacred moment which marked the beginning of His ministry, where the very voice of God resounded from heaven, affirming Jesus Christ as the Messiah. You remember that moment when the Holy Spirit descended from the sky in bodily form like a dove, and it resounded upon the very person of Jesus Christ. Something that we all too often glance over happened at that moment, and it has profound implications to how the providence of God works in your life and my life today. As I've gone through my studies of the Scriptures, I keep coming across this moment in the Bible, and it makes me pause, it makes me think, it makes me reflect that something very important is happening here that I need to be aware of, and you as my congregation needs to be aware of in your walk of faith. Today we find this astonishing occurrence as we open in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. We're going to Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, I'll be reading from the New King James Version today. And in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, we find this amazing and astonishing occurrence that I'm speaking of that takes place right after the baptism of Jesus Christ in the water in the Jordan and also by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, if you're with me there in your Scriptures today, please say amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, as we go to the holy writings of Scripture, the Bible tells us, as Luke, the good doctor, records this historical event, he says that after Jesus was baptized, Luke 4, verse 1, he says, then Jesus, being filled with the what, everyone? The Holy Spirit, he returned from the Jordan, and Jesus, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, was led by who, everyone? Led by the Spirit into the where? Into the wilderness. Verse 2 says this. It says, then being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, afterward he was hungry. Now Chandler Church, as we read through these writings of Luke, Luke lists for us just a little gray area. Simply saying that after Jesus Christ was baptized of water and, more importantly, of the Spirit in the Jordan, that the Spirit Himself led Jesus into the wilderness, and then Luke says He was tempted there 40 days of the devil. Now Luke is a little bit more vague, but our dear friend Matthew actually makes it plain. So we can face it, so we can feel it, so we can process it, so we can embrace it, and we can deal with it. Matthew tells us this in his parallel passage, almost the exact same numerical set in Scripture. Matthew 4, 1 and 2 tells us that Jesus was led up by the who, everyone? The Spirit into the wilderness, and the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for one specific purpose, according to Matthew, and it was to be what? Tempted by the devil. Tempted by the devil. I don't know about you, Chandler Church. Maybe some of you are like me. Maybe some of you have a lower nature. Maybe some of you, like me, have a carnal, fleshly side. Am I the only one in here today? In my lower nature, in my carnality, in my flesh, as I read through the words of God, I am perplexed by this. In fact, beloved, in my lower sinful carnal nature, as I read what the Spirit, after it fell upon Jesus and empowered Him, led Him to do, in my carnal sinful nature, I'm offended by this. You see, I have expectations for the Spirit. I don't know about you. And when the Spirit, if the Spirit, falls upon Shane in power, my expectations of the Spirit are for the Spirit to lead me towards prosperity. Huh? I expect the Spirit to lead me towards good fortune. Huh? I expect the Spirit to lead me towards money and achievement and wealth and success and all the good, good, good things in life. When and if the Spirit falls on Shane, Shane fully expects the Spirit and Shane to ride off on a parade into the sunset, happily ever after, with no problems at all. In my carnal, sinful, fleshly human nature, I am confused that as Jesus received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his life, the former reign, Jesus was led by the Spirit into temptation. This, Chandler Church, has perplexed me. I don't know about you. And it has forced me to face this question, a question that today, as we open these wonderful words of life, these holy scriptures that God has given to us today, it forces us to face the question that if you and I want the latter rain, are we willing to let it rain on our parade? As I wrestled with understanding the Spirit of God, and what the Spirit God did to Jesus after it fell upon him in great power, I wrestled in the Spirit with God, asking God for understanding why the Spirit would lead Jesus into tough times. And God had to speak to Shane in a language that Shane could understand, in a language that Shane could comprehend, in a language that was close to Shane in Shane's understanding of the world. You see, I wondered why the Spirit would lead Jesus into tough times, and the Spirit spoke to me about the things that I think are toughest in this world. I would submit to you today that the toughest thing that you can do in this world is mixed martial arts. Those of you who know Pastor Shane know that Pastor Shane is a mixed martial artist and a fan of mixed martial arts. And that man that you see on the screen today is perhaps the greatest mixed martial artist that our world has ever known. In 1994, Pastor Shane was a senior in high school and he watched that man, Royce Gracie, win the very first Ultimate Fighting Championship. It wasn't like the boxing events or the UFC fights of today. On that night, back in 1994, that one man at 175 pounds had to beat five men in one night, all of them heavier than him, using the skills and abilities that he had. Now, Royce Gracie did have an advantage. You see, his father, Helio, is the inventor and the creator of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu here in America. When you talk about what happens in a fight or a contest in mixed martial arts, when it goes to the ground, the very man who invented the techniques that happened on the ground is that man, Helio Gracie. And Helio, when he taught this activity, these techniques to his sons, he taught them his very art, and his sons taught them to everyone else here in America. So whenever it was you went out to do a fight in an Ultimate Fighting Championship, if that fight went to the ground, you, no matter who you were using the very techniques that the creator and the originator had brought here to this world. Now, whenever Royce Gracie went out to a fight, Royce not only had a physical advantage that his father was the creator, he had a psychological advantage in that whenever he went out to a fight, the father gathered his many sons together. And as the father gathered the many sons together and the brothers, the whole family would come out in a straight line. And the whole family together would lead Royce on a procession to the ring. So when the opponent was watching Royce come to the ring, he not only saw Royce, He saw the creator, the founder, the originator of the very art he was practicing. And as Royce went to the ring, the father and all the brothers, Hickson, Hoyler, Helio, all of them led Royce to the ring. Can you imagine that? You're standing there getting ready to fight one of the best mixed martial artists on the planet, and you see the father leading him and all the brothers guiding him. The psychological advantage that it had when the father led his son to the ring. God, through the Spirit, helps us understand today that with all the fights that we may face, for all those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God today. Can you say amen? And friends of mine, in our world today, our Heavenly Father is in a great controversy, a spiritual conflict against the powers and principalities of this world, of good and evil. And in that fight, sometimes He enlists His daughters and His sons to be a part of that fight. And as the Father leads you out to the ring, the Father and all your sisters and brothers who go before you and guard your rear send the message to your adversary that you are not fighting against me alone. You're fighting against my Father. You're fighting against our legacy. You're fighting against our whole family. Can you say amen today? God the Father led His church in Acts chapter 2 by fulfilling the biblical promises found in Joel chapter 2, where He poured the former rain upon the New Testament church. And we see that promise given to us in Joel chapter 2, verse 23. In Joel 2, 23, it says, "Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause for you to come down the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Can you say amen? But when we look upon the history of that early church in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit gave the former rain and started to drizzle upon them, the Spirit didn't simply lead them to have supernatural abilities. They didn't just heal the sick and cure the blind and raise the dead. Many of them, they themselves, despite their supernatural abilities, were going to die. You know this, right? You know it from the Bible and from church history. The question we have to ask ourselves today was, did the former rain rain on the early New Testament church's parade? Yes or no, Chandler Church? Yes or no, Chandler Church? You better believe it did. You better believe it did. God came upon them in great power, but with that power came severe persecution. The Holy Spirit, the former rain, rained upon that church, and they got transformed character, but with that character came great, great condemnation. Can you say amen today? When you and I here today, Chandler Church, envision the latter rain, we typically envision receiving power and peace, but rarely do we imagine that the Spirit Himself would lead us into the heart of darkness for a higher and brighter purpose. Very often as Christians, we are so quick to convey, we want this rain, we want this spiritual outpouring, but so often we are quick to discount how inconvenient the reality of rain can be, huh? As human beings, we know that a rainstorm can impede our movement. He that hath an ear, let him hear. As human beings, we know that an outpouring of rain can ruin our robes and our garments. He that hath an ear, let him hear. As human beings, we know that an outpouring of rain radically transforms our environment, and very often it causes many of us to run from it. How many of us today, beloved, are running away from the very problems that God the Father wants to lead us in to fight and win and overcome. That God the Father is leading us into battle, that through prayer and submission to His will and His power and His presence, He wants to show us, you are greater than the sum total of the circumstances in your life, and He that is in you is greater than He is in the world. Can you say amen today? Too many of us are running from the things that affect us and afflict us and hurt us and harm us. Too many of us are coming to prayer meeting asking for those things to go away, as opposed to asking for the strength of God to do what God is calling us to do in those circumstances. Do you hear me here today? Some of us here today are old enough at Chandler Church to remember Walt Disney's Uncle Remus's. Anybody here today? You remember Uncle Remus? Those collection of Southern African American folk tales written by Joel Chandler Harris, narrated by the fictional character of its namesake. They chronicle the stories and the tales of Br'er Rabbit, who is a likable, lovable character, but prone to getting tricked and deceived and led into trouble. You remember that it was converted into a movie in the mid-1900s, The Song of the South, and in one particular segment of the movie, Br'er gets himself into such a bad situation, a situation and circumstance he sees so negatively, that he decides to leave the old briar patch for good, never to return. To run away from the place where he was born and raised and reared. So Uncle Remus, in wisdom and in love, in kindness and in goodness, he admonishes Br'er Rabbit with these words: you can't run away from your trouble. There ain't no place that far. Can you say amen today? We forget that we live in a sinful, fallen world, don't we? We forget that this world is not our home, don't we? We forget every day that every day we are getting one step closer either to the second coming of Jesus or our own demise. We are not going to make it out alive. And while we are running from the things that God is trying to lead us into, we need to realize that we can't run from trouble here in a sinful, fallen earth. Amen, somebody, today. God wants to lead some of us today into the heart of darkness, that through us, God can defeat that thing in that darkness in the world. And as it pertains to the troubles of this world, Scripture suggests to us that before the second coming of Jesus Christ, the greatest trouble this world has ever seen is going to take place on our planet. You know that, right? That's what we're heading towards. And if we are heading towards the troubles of that time, yet trying to avoid the troubles of here and now today, how are we going to make it, beloved? We all want the latter rain in that day, but do you still want it if it's going to rain on your parade? Ellen White talks to us about these last days, and she says this in Great Controversy, page 618 and 19, she describes the events of that time. She says, as Satan accuses the people of God on account of their sins, the Lord permits him to try them to the uttermost. Who permits it, everybody? The Lord permits it. The Lord permits the devil to try us to the uttermost. But their confidence and their faith, their firmness in God are severely tested. As they review their past life, their hopes sink. For in their whole lives, how much good do the righteous see? If you're really right with God, you don't see what you're doing right, you see what you're doing wrong. You hear me today? She goes on. The righteous are fully conscious of their weakness and, what's that word? Unworthiness. The righteous are not worthy to be saved. So Satan endeavors to terrify them with the thought that their cases are hopeless. That's why we must understand righteousness by faith. Can you say amen today? that the stain of their defilement can never be washed away. He hopes so to destroy their faith that they will yield to his temptations and turn from their what? Allegiance to God. Do you know, beloved, that the last grand deception of this age is not beer, it's not jewelry, it's not movies, it's not pornography, it's not adultery. The last grand deception is get you to turn your faith away from God. To believe that God can save you and forgive you. Do you get that here today? She goes on. She says the season of distress and anguish before us will require a faith that can endure weariness and delay and hunger, a faith that will not faint though severely tried. The period of probation is granted to all to prepare for that time. Jacob prevailed because he was persevering and determined. As the crowning act in the great drama of deception, Satan will impersonate Christ. The church has long professed to look for his coming, and as the consummation of her hopes, now the great deceiver will make it appear that Jesus Christ has come. This deceiver will heal the diseases. In his assumed character of Christ, he will claim to have changed the Sabbath to Sunday. He will command all to hallow the day which he has blessed. He declares that those who persist in keeping the holy seventh day are blaspheming his name by refusing to listen to his angels sent to them with light and truth. This is the strong, almost overmastering delusion. But as all of this happens and takes place on our planet, and in our world, Ellen White tells us that the time of trouble starts with this. It starts with this. And we go back now. Page 613. She says, when the third angel's message closes, mercy no longer pleads for the guilty inhabitants of the earth. That's all of us, by the way. The people of God have accomplished their work. And they have received the what, everyone? Help me out. The latter rain. The refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And the latter rain does this. It prepares them. What word did I say? Prepares them for the trying time before them. My sinful nature, I'm still offended. What, Lord, what are you talking about? I thought we were going to be delivered from this trouble and tribulation because we were saints. We are more than saints. We are overcomers. Can you say amen? And if the Spirit falling upon us in that day will prepare us to lead us into the toughest times that this world has ever seen, you have to know today that the things you are facing in your life, in your situation, in your circumstances, if you are in Christ, are Jesus Christ Himself leading you into victory. Can you say amen today? Very often as Seventh-day Adventist Christians who in love admonish and warn the world that Jesus Christ is coming again. And the second coming of Christ is the cataclysmic ending to the world as we know it. We do our best in love and compassion to make it as palatable and as pretty as we can. To show the second coming in a completely positive light. But the reality, as we all know today, is that the second coming is a tumultuous time where we are all going to go through some stuff, aren't we? And so it is that God allows you and I to go through some stuff today in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, through that stuff so we can be strong in that day. Can you say amen? God, through Amos, describes what the second coming of Jesus Christ is like, and it's not like the pretty pictures and graphics we put up in our evangelism. Amos 5, verse 20, Amos looks at that second coming of Jesus, and Amos says, shall not the day of the Lord be what? Darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it. I remember coming across that verse, having the Holy Ghost speak to me saying, tell them the truth. Tell them the truth about what that last day is like. It is tough times. Can you say amen? It's hard to reconcile the good news of the second coming of Jesus Christ with the tough times that we are about to face in this world. And how is it that we can do that, that we can look upon the light of Christ's coming and the good news of His advent coupled with the hardship that we are about to endure? And I would submit today that women amongst us know better than anyone, don't you, ladies? Just in 6 days, I'm going to celebrate the 8th birthday of my wonderful, beautiful daughter, Hope. And I remember as a young man, when my daughter Hope was born, I remember hearing all the stories, Elder Williams, of childbirth and how wonderful childbirth is. And then I got into the delivery room. I said, What is happening in here? I mean, there was screaming, there was blood, there was guts, there was umbilical cords, there was placentas. I said, I didn't sign on for this. Help me, Holy Ghost. What's going on in here? And so it is that Jesus, when He wants us to understand what we're getting ready to go through as it pertains to the end times, Jesus says, the women in the church know, the women understand, the women get it, because when a woman is in labor, she's suffered because her time has now come. But when she gives birth to a child, she forgets all the pain. There is pain, a lot of pain. A lot of pain, a lot of blood. But when the child is born into the world, she forgets all that. Can you say amen today? And so it is that the pre-incarnate Christ, He speaks to us through Isaiah along the same themes. And He says, shall I not bring a woman to the point of birth and give delivery? The New Century Version expresses it this way, and it's the best in really summarizing what God is saying, that God says, I will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born. Hallelujah. So when the Holy Spirit is leading you today, Chandler Church, in your life, in your circumstances, Kayla, in your job, with your manager, in everything you are dealing with, God allows suffering in order to produce something beautiful through you. Do you hear me today? And some of us might say, like Shane in our lower carnal nature, I don't want to go through that suffering. I don't want to endure that. The converse or the opposite is no better. In fact, it's far worse, where Satan pacifies us. He prepares us for sudden destruction by making us comfortable like a fatted calf. Like a frog in boiling water. Just relax. Just watch the voice. Just go to the movies. Just tune in to Days of Our Lives. Everything's okay. And the church and the virgins and the people of God, we are asleep, hiding from the former rain that God wants to sprinkle on us, longing for the latter rain, but not wanting God to rain, Ricardo, on our parade. But I know this. I know this. That the tough times that God allows us to go through, they create tough people. Do you believe that today? And Jared, I have a new theory on why there's so many women in the church. It's because they're tougher. Amen, some lady? Amen, some lady? They're tougher. We get stomach gas pains as men, and we can't make it into work. We're like, I can't do it. Women are producing something the size of a small farm animal, and they're at the job next week. They're tougher. That's why there's so many women in the church. Tough times create tough people. And tough people in Jesus are led by the Spirit. Do you believe it today? This is why James says to us, and I've never got it before, James says, count it all what? Joy when you fall into a trial. I would submit that it should be translated led. Because if you're in Christ and believe in Jesus, and you know, Kayla, that you're a believer, and you know that He's with you and will never forsake you, if you are in a trial, it is Jesus Himself who believes in you more than you believe in Him. He's leading you, Keisha. He's leading you. So James says, you rejoice with joy. I'm telling you, it's God. I'm telling you, it's God, Earl. It's God. He led you into that trial, just like He led Jesus into the Spirit. And as God leads us by His Spirit through our trials and our tribulations, as the Spirit leads some of us into temptation and battle, the Bible tells us that those battles themselves, they produce. What word did I say? Produce. Paul writes to us in Romans 5, 3 and 4. He says, we glory in our what? That's not part of my big plan, right? My lower nature, right? That's not on the agenda and the schedule. I check with Microsoft Outlook. It's not on there. But Paul says, when our sufferings come, we glory in them because the Spirit is leading us out to battle. And as the Spirit leads us to battle, we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces what, everyone? Hope. So for all of us who are hoping for the latter rain in those last days, will you today let it rain on your parade? You know, there's a saying that we have in our Western society, and it goes like this. It says that April showers bring what, everybody? And that saying, it's intended, it's devised, it's made to help us understand according to what happens in nature and the seasons and the times. That the things that God allows in nature, which are a little bit watery and a little bit messy and a little bit muddy and a little bit grimy, and it kind of messes up our plans and makes our situations and our circumstances more difficult and not like we would want or wish. That saying, it's wise in that it wants us to know the sloppy things that are taking place in our life. They're happening for a greater purpose, and the purpose is that those sloppy things taking place will allow something beautiful to be produced later on. Some of us are dealing with slop so messy that it causes us to walk away from God altogether. Say, if God is real, Troy, if God is present, if God is here and working in my life, then why is my life such a mess? Why does my life look like this? Because God, through the rain that He's allowing to pour on your life, and the Spirit's leading of you into tough times and tough places, God is proving that He's closer to you than ever before. And that God is getting ready to do something great, something beautiful, something bountiful, if you can just hold on to the harvest. We say here in our world that April showers bring May flowers. I would respectfully submit to us today, Chandler Church, that we need to affirm as disciples and believers of the living God that Holy Spirit showers lead to end time power. If you believe it today, please say amen. And as the Spirit, according to God's higher plan and purpose, is raining on some of our parades, those flowers are going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. We all want those fruits, don't we? And so often we think that the fruits of the Spirit are the magical working of God in our lives. It's not magic. It's according to His perfect plan. Perfect. 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 Joseph thrown into slavery. Perfect. Daniel thrown into a pit of lions. Perfect. Moses taken as a baby into Egyptian slavery and brought into a house of bondage far from perfect. He knows what he's doing. He knows my name. He knows how many hairs are on my head. And whatever it is that he's got me going through today, he promises me that it's for greater glory tomorrow. Do you believe it today, Chandler Church? We know and we see in nature, especially here in Arizona, we affirm, we understand that it has to rain for the flowers to grow. And the flowers have to grow in order to produce fruit. Conversely, the devil lulls us to sleep so that he can destroy us and get us comfortable. For all of us who want the latter rain, are we willing? Are we willing to let God have his way? And are we willing to let God reign on our parade today? Because God promises you and me, he promises that whatever the Holy Spirit leads us into, he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. Amen, somebody? And even if God leads us into battle against the devil, if he leads us into temptation, he will provide and produce a way of escape so that we are able to bear it. You know that, right? No matter what it is you think that you are enduring that is too tough for you to endure and continue, God says, I know you can do it. So you get back up, baby. You stand back up. You continue fighting. You continue forging ahead. You continue pushing forward. And you continue marching on. Jesus marched all the way into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was there right before he was about to die. When he was going through his time of great trouble, he had to get down and ask the rain to stop. You know that, right? He said, Lord, this is just too much, too much, too much. Anyone ever pray prayers like that? Too much. I can't. There in the garden, praying, pleading, perspiring blood, he said, Lord, if it's possible, make the rain stop. The Holy Spirit was governing and moving and leading everything towards the salvation of the entire world. And Jesus said, I'm ready to tap out. I'm ready. But here's what I'm going to do, God. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to surrender it all to you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you know better than I know. I'm going to surrender all. And despite what I want, I'm going to ask, Lord God, for your will to be done here in this place. I'm going to ask, Lord God, for you to do what you do best, and that's to make all things well. And we can't see the forest from the trees sometimes. We can't see that through our circumstances, our situation, our life, our hardships, our trials, that God is working through those to make all things well. But do you believe him today? Do you trust him today? Do you love him today? Do you know today that he surrounds you and encircles you? Because Auntie Ellen tells us this. She says that when Jesus was there in the garden, when Jesus was here on earth, when Jesus was struggling through the worst times, when Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted and prepared for that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was led to pray and plead and sweat blood saying, I'm ready to give up. That whole time, Auntie Ellen tells us that the Father's presence encircled Jesus and nothing fell upon Jesus but that which infinite love did what? God allowed it. He allowed it, Sherman Richardson, for a higher purpose than you and I can understand. We don't know like he knows. He permitted it for the blessing of the world. Here was Jesus' source of comfort, and it is for us. And some of us may be aging. Some of us may be getting long in the tooth. Some of us may be getting up in years and wondering, Pastor Shane, what if I don't make it to those last days? The way you handle your trials and your tribulations, your tough times, is going to show your children and your grandchildren whether or not they can trust in God. He has it all in His hands. Do you hear me today? And whatever He permits, He allows for your blessing. Auntie Ellen goes on to say that he or she who is imbued with the Spirit of Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit, amen? That's the Holy Spirit, amen? She who is imbued with the Spirit of Jesus abides in Jesus, and the blow that is aimed at her, it falls first upon who, everyone? Jesus, who surrounds her with His presence. Hallelujah. Quiet in here, like we're not sure if we can believe that. He loves you so very much. She tells us this. She says that whatever comes to her or him, it comes from who? Not from the devil. The devil may have agitated it, but he needs permission like he needed for Job. He needs permission to touch us. To say, Lord, let me sift him, let me sift her like wheat. And Jesus says, I'm going to show you. My family's going to show you. My Father's going to show you. Like Helio Gracie, Jesus leads us out to battle. To fight with the weapons of a spiritual warrior. Love and prayer and Scripture and compassion, and goodness. Amen? So whatever comes to us comes from Jesus, so we have no need to resist evil because Jesus is our defense. Not one thing, she says, can touch us except by the Lord Jesus Christ's permission. And all things that Jesus permits them because they work together for good. What word did I say? For good to them who love God. Can you say amen today? As we come to our close today here, Chandler Church, I want us to understand three things. Three things. Number one, everyone here within the sound of my voice, repeat after me. Number one, say, God is not punishing me. Say it. God is not punishing me. God is preparing me. Say it. God is preparing me. Will you let Him reign on your parade? We need to trust in His plan and not in our pain. Amen. Those who are United States Marines, they have a saying when they go through the arduous rigors of training. They say that pain is fear leaving the body. It's a state of mind that you allow or disallow. And we need to decide to trust or not to trust that God is with us. I'm a believer. Any other believers out here today? Number two, say it with me. God uses my deepest pain, say it. God uses my deepest pain as the launching pad for my call to ministry. Say it. As the launching pad for my call to ministry. No perfect people in the church. Perfect people can't minister to sinners. There was only one who could. That was Jesus. Those who have been through a divorce can minister to those who have been divorced. Those who have been abused can minister to those who have been abused. Those who have been wounded and mistreated can minister to the hurt, the broken, and the downtrodden. And whatever God allows in this world, where it would inevitably and eventually happen, He allows it because He knows you're strong enough to weather it. He knows you can do it. And He knows He can make you a mighty man. He knows He can make you a mighty woman of valor. Do you know that today? And whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has led you into, He's led you for the purpose of becoming a minister for God. Number three, last but not least, everyone within the sound of my voice, repeat it. God is using, let's say it like this, dear trial, say it everyone, dear trial, God is using you for my good. Repeat after me. God is using you for my good. We've got to speak to that thing. You hear me? We've got to speak to that thing. You hear me? In the beginning, God came to Adam and he said, Adam, you tell me what that is. You tell me, you name it. And Adam named all the creatures in creation. That's how we got their names, according to Scripture. Now I'm going to ask you today, each and every one of you, man, woman, and child, with the things that you're going through in your life, the power that's invested in you as a disciple of Jesus Christ by the former rain beginning to sprinkle in your life, I want you to speak to that thing in the Spirit. And you tell it what it is. Do you hear me today? Trial. Temptation. Tribulation. God is using you for my good. Use the power that God has given you in speech. You are different from the animals that you can think, that you can reason, and that you can speak. Do you hear me today? It was the voice of God that spoke at the baptism of Jesus Christ saying, "This is my Son." And everyone listened. As disciples of the Son, you speak to those problems you have, Thomas. You hear me? You speak to those trials. And the power that Jesus Christ has conferred upon you as a disciple, you say, God is using you for my good. Amen today? Do you believe God is good to us today? Yes. Most importantly, do you believe that God is leading us today, Chandler Church? Jesus Christ has said that He would never leave us nor forsake us. And sometimes, He may even lead us into tough times, but He knows that we can win. Let's be overcomers. Let's be victors. Let's be followers of the living Christ today. What do you say?